Okay, welcome everybody to the Wednesday night family chat hour here at By Yahweh's Design. It is the 30th day of August, year 2023, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here in the United States, and we survived, all of us here in South Florida anyway. Some of our folks up in Northern Florida got pounded pretty good, but Yahweh blessed us down here on the southern tip, and the storm went around and basically pretty much left us alone. So we're very, very grateful for that. Not a lot of up-to-date news items. Things are pouring in left and right. So I'm just going to go ahead and open up the floor for a chit-chat right away. And then if something does come up, we can go into detail with that. But at the moment here, we got Ella from Texas with us and Matt over in Ireland. So right off the bat, I'd like to hear from Matt. What's the latest over there? We keep hearing different reports over Telegram and internet and email and different things like that. They're actually boots on the ground in Ireland. So if you wouldn't mind, Matt, take a couple of minutes and just let us know what's the climate over there like. What are people saying? What's happening?
Well, to be honest, it's same old, same old. It's normies, you know. What can you expect? People are as asleep now as they've ever been. We've got these new EU laws coming in, so that'll be interesting to see how that goes. I don't usually use Twitter, but I downloaded it just because. On that, they have a report to EU now. I don't know if you saw that. You can actually report people to the European Union on Twitter. So if you say something mean, that's the new thing that's going on in Europe in general. So it'd be interesting to see how it goes.
So it's just like when the Bolsheviks went after our cousins over in Russia, they get the people to turn on themselves.
Yeah, pretty much. We'll have to see how it goes. I don't know how they're going to implement it, but I would imagine that they're going to start. So from what I understand, the implication is that they're going to be fining companies that basically go against the grain. So any company that is basically screwed. But if the likes of, let's say, or anyone that's based in America is pretty much impervious to these laws. But yeah, I haven't heard anyone giving out because everyone I know doesn't really, they don't care, and they get their news through me generally. So that's kind of the long and the short of it here now at the moment, but I'd be interested to see how it goes. I'd imagine that I'll have to start using a VPN.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So what you're saying then over there in Ireland, in general, you're not seeing any signs of a mass awakening. It's pretty much the same as it's been for a while?
Yeah, pretty much. As I said to you, the last time I was speaking to you, maybe a month or so ago, that we've had a lot of protests here in Ireland. I think this year we've had over 200 protests. But of course, protest means nothing. You know, you have to do a little bit more these days to make the politicians afraid of you. So until we start doing more than just waving signs and giving out the insanity, will continue. You know.
Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, our arch enemy, our ancient enemy, the Jew, figured out a very long time ago that if you control the money, and in fact, what's his name, Rothschild even said it, that I care not who makes a country's laws as long as I control the issuance of currency and credit. So, I mean, he made it plain 200 and some years ago that they knew the plan for taking over in all of our countries was simply get in there and weasel their way into taking over the media and the money. And once they had that, they could pretty much buy off politicians, buy off talking heads, celebrities, sports figures, politicians, etc. And, you know, our people have been all too willing to just acquiesce and put the money in their pocket, a little bit like Judas, the Jew who betrayed Yahshua for a bag full of silver. Our people are playing the part of Judas today in betraying our race and our Heavenly Father for a bag full of Jewish silver. And the sad part is today it's not even really silver. They're doing it for digits in a computer that can disappear in a split second. That's unbelievable. Melissa, yeah, go ahead, Matt. I'm sorry.
I was a bit more optimistic several months ago about how it would go, but not so much anymore. I think we're going to go through a really rough time here over the next few years. I don't see any other way because people are just too complacent. I mean, what else is there to say? People are way too complacent. They just
That's
don't
true.
Care.
Yeah, they are definitely apathetic and complacent. You're right. We haven't seen you in a while, Melissa. Did you want to jump in and say hello and bring us up to speed?
Yes. Hello, everybody. I've been traveling down the road. And during my travels, I've been thinking a lot about our nation's bird, the bald eagle. And what does it stand for? Freedom, strength, something else.
Well,
I think we should switch it up. I think we should have a symbol, and the symbol should be an orange barrel. In fact, we should have them in our churches, in our homes. We should bow down to it every morning.
Okay, you broke up just slightly. We should have a what?
Didn't
orange
hear the
barrel.
Sentence either.
An orange
Repeat
barrel.
It?
We should
orange
have
barrel?
A symbol should be an orange barrel, yes. They're everywhere.
Like a
everywhere.
Pickle barrel?
No, like a barrel on the road where there's no work being done, but you got to slow down.
Oh. An orange barrel.
I've been to States. They're everywhere. It's crazy.
Really?
I don't know what you're talking about.
That you don't have them. My friend, I was telling her in Vermont, she has them there.
When
they're
you say an orange barrel, all I can think of is a pickle barrel in the store with
Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Kentucky.
So what you're saying is they're starting to close off sections of the public highway.
Well, they've been doing it. Last year, I got off right between, I was leaving Kansas, going into Kansas City, and I got off, and my GPS blocked, and it took me all the way around back to the store, and I went in the store and paper. It had been that way for over a year.
Wow!
I didn't know what an orange barrel was because I haven't driven in a car for almost 4 years.
Yeah, they're everywhere. They're everywhere, and half the places
are on the road. I haven't gone past my house.
Go ahead, Melissa. Go ahead and say what you said again.
And half the places you don't even see any road work, and then the road you're on, they are so messed up in some of the places. It's like, why aren't you fixing this? I mean, what is, I don't understand it.
So what you're saying is it could be part of the agenda to cut down on our ability to travel and to get around because they don't want to make it easy for us. Remember, they want to corral us into these, right, these 15-minute cities and stuff.
Now right. I get it.
I'm sorry, I didn't explain very well.
Matt thinks it's going to go on for a few more years, but I don't think we get another 2 years.
No.
Yeah, you can feel it, the pressure cooker building up quite a bit. That's my opinion too. I think we're going to see something drastic within the next 6 months to 12 months. And you can see they're laying the groundwork for it with these different things that are going on. So, yeah, it's amazing. Go ahead,
did
Matt.
You guys have seen that they're starting to push the COVID nonsense again.
That's what I was going to say, too. They're planning on another pandemic, probably coming out after the early part of the first of the year.
Yeah, I finished my driving lessons a couple of months ago, but they've got such a backlog here because they shut everything down for like 2 years. So you've got to wait like 6 months to actually do the test. And my instructor got on to me. I was supposed to meet him there this week, tomorrow. I was supposed to meet him, and he texted me. He said, "Oh, I've got COVID, so I'll have to meet you there next week." And I just said, "Okay, whatever, man. Sure thing."
I sent one thing out today. I have absolute proof there is no such thing known in the world as a virus. So there could not be a COVID virus because none has ever been isolated. So that's all a fake.
Ella, you have to have a brain to be able to distinguish something like that. Most people these days don't, unfortunately.
Exactly. Go ahead, Melissa.
Matt, I want to ask you, do the invaders get their driver's license quickly, or do they have to wait?
I'll tell you, the invaders in this country at the moment, they get to vote, and they get to be Gardas. They get to be a part of the police force here without even being nationals. So that's the state of this disgraceful island that I happen to live on.
That's happening in the United States, too. You don't have to be a citizen to become a cop.
I was watching the graduates of this year's Garda Síochána Cána. And up front, a black man. So I'd be looking forward to being policed by the Negroes. That would be fun.
Oh, boy.
Like the diaries.
Well,
what's that, Melissa? What'd you say, Melissa? I didn't hear you.
Like the Turner Diaries.
Oh, the Turner Diaries, yes.
Yeah. Well, what are they about?
The Turner Diaries were written by William Pierce, and I think he was very correct in his assessment, in the sense that he said it will become so saturated with the lower races that we'll be able to be almost immune, because they'll be so stupid they won't be able to keep up with us. So I look forward to that.
Well, they want a lot of the black people into the white countries so they'll mix with the white women. That way they'll breed the race out.
Just to let you guys know, I have a PDF copies of the Turner Diaries if anybody's having trouble finding it.
Yeah, send it to me.
Okay.
You can.
Quite a few years ago, so I wouldn't mind having it myself so I could read it.
Yeah, Melissa,
I'll send you
the audio version. William Pierce actually read it. So I can send you the audio version of it, and you can listen to him read it.
Send it to me, too, would you, Matt?
Yeah, of course. Thank you, Matt.
Yeah, just so all of you know that the hurricane heading toward Florida, and they're having it bad in spurts. So Dan could lose his internet any minute. So if he disappears, that's what happened.
Keep going
and try to get in as much as we can, as long as we can, and hope Yahweh keeps the whole hour.
Yeah, go ahead, Melissa.
I was going to ask how close that was to you.
It went up quite a bit west of us, up in more in the Gulf of Mexico. It ended up slamming into what they call the It's where the top of Florida curves west over the top of the Gulf of Mexico. I can't remember the term for it now, the Great Bend or something like that, but it's up near the
Pensacola area.
No, not that far. Right there where the curve is, which is just east of Tallahassee, the state capital. So it's quite a bit east of there, but it's slammed into that little curved area where the top of Florida curves to the west. It slammed in there pretty hard. I got friends that live up there, and they were getting pounded with some very high winds and lots of rain, but it was much smaller than the news was trying to portray. They wanted to make it sound like biblical storm and all this, but just the people that were in the line of the eye, what they call the eye of the storm, they got pounded pretty good. But those of us that were 50 to 100 miles from the center, like here, we got some heavy rain and some maybe 15, 20 mile an hour gusts. And that was it for about 15, 20 minutes. That was it. So again, fear porn, keep the people distracted, keep them afraid. You can't totally trust the weathermen anymore. There are some individuals that monitor the buoys, which monitor the winds and all that stuff. They give a more accurate reading. You have to go to the alternative simple people that are giving out weather reports, because the mainstream channels and all that, they just put out whatever people tell them, and half the time it's not true. So, I mean, they had us a few years back. There was a hurricane called Matthew that was coming up towards the tip of Florida, and they were telling us to consider evacuating the area, and it missed us completely. I mean, we didn't even get any, like a 5-mile-an-hour gust. We got nothing, no rain, no wind, no nothing. And yet the news was telling us to think about packing up our stuff and heading out of town. I mean, it's that bad anymore. When I was taking pilot lessons, my flight instructor told me, you don't trust the weather reports. He said, if you want to know what the weather's like, go open the door and stick your head out and take a look at the sky. That's your most accurate weather report.
Hey, Dan, don't hurricanes in Florida, I know I lived there 15 years, don't they start usually from the south and come up to the north? They don't start in the north and come down to the south.
No, they almost always come up around the Caribbean and then come north. Yes, that's true.
Yeah, so that one that's there now, I think, is man-made.
Yeah, they're all doing strange things. People that have lived in hurricane areas for decades and decades have said in the last 5 years, these major storms do not behave like what we're used to seeing at all. They're very strange. So something's going on. I can't say for sure it's being engineered. I don't know if they have that much power or not. But something's strange going on, just like the weather here. The ultraviolet rays that have been pounding us all summer here so far have been extremely unusual, extremely tense. And I have no idea what's causing it. I can just tell you that I've never felt the ultraviolet rays affect me as much as they are right now. And it's all my neighbors, too. It's not just me. Because some people say, well, you're getting to be an older man, Dan. You can't handle the sun. No, I was a farmer. I was outside all the time, so I know what it's like to be in the normal rays of the sun. These rays here right now are probably 10 times stronger and worse than anything I ever felt before. So something weird is happening. I yield.
It's like that here. The sunflowers,
where is
the
here?
Weird in Kansas. They all down. They don't even face the sun anymore. It's like that. I know that sounds crazy, but it's so weird. I've never seen flowers do this. And some of them, the stalk has went like sideways, like something smacked down, and it's I don't know if they're almost all dead now. But it's really weird. I've never seen sunflowers behave like this.
That is weird.
Well, here in Texas, for the past 2 months, we haven't had any rain at all. The grass is totally brown. And the leaves on the trees are all crispy on the edges because the trees are, like, getting to fall. And then a couple of days ago, there were storm clouds out there, and I thought, well, finally we're going to get rain. And the wind blew probably 50 miles an hour, and it sounded like we were going to have a beauty. And I was looking forward to it. And the thunder came. And the rain slammed down for about 2 minutes, and then for about 3 minutes later, it trickled, and then about 5 minutes later, it was all gone.
Wow.
Everything is dry again. It's been, some days, it's been 112 here.
Wow.
You look outside, and the streets, there's nobody outside, no outside construction being worked, which you see all the time, neighbors improving their land and putting up fences and everything. They were doing it, and they quit in the middle because the people couldn't be out in the sun working. There's no kids outside, no dogs, no animals. It's like you go out into the prairie in the middle of the desert and see houses there, but no people.
A very dystopic world we live in at the moment, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it gets very depressing. Go ahead, Matt.
I said I don't envy you folks. Nice and cool here in the
Isle. I'd love to be in Ireland right now with all my heart. Oh, boy.
Erin go bra.
I love the Irish and the Irish landscapes, and they're so beautiful. Reminds me of our Vermont.
Oh, yeah, Vermont, yeah. What do they call it, emerald or very green?
Yeah, emerald area.
Vermont is Green Mountain.
Right. Matt, what'd you say?
Mont Vert. Go ahead, Matt. I'm sorry. I'm wordy. I'm mouthy.
The Emerald Isle.
The Emerald Isle, yes. Amen. Irish.
Although it's looking a little bit brown these days, but what can you do?
Well, that's all going to get rectified. It's unfortunate it has to get this ugly before things get turned around, but the good news is that the Father is going to turn around. I was talking to somebody here recently. You know, as much as we marvel at the absolute level of stupidity and cowardice of our people, we have to remember something. The prophets told us that at the end of the age, this is pretty much exactly what he was going to do. Our Father's doing this. He said, I'm going to separate the wheat from the chaff, the wheat from the tares. And that's exactly what's happening. If you think about it, he is making it crystal clear who are the people worthy of going into the kingdom and who aren't. I mean, I don't know about you folks, but it's like crystal clear. And years ago, you weren't quite sure, you know, well, maybe they're pretty good guys after all. But now it's crystal clear. The other phenomenon that I'm noting amongst our people is a sincere desire to not mingle with the normies. All of the people that I consider wheat have told me that they have no desire, even family members, even people that they used to associate with quite frequently, because they're so disgusted with their ignorance, their cowardice, etc. They're telling me that they want no part of them, and they don't even want to try to wake them up anymore. That's something pretty new. The other phenomenon that's happening is amongst the people that are awoke, or I should say that have woken up, they all, every single one of them, has expressed a desire to come out of Babylon and get back to a simpler lifestyle and live in a community of like-minded people. They're all saying it. So my hope and prayer is that if we have a remnant of our people that have reached that point, that it's not far away where the Father will gather us together just like he did Noah and his family. He'll gather us together because it'll be time for the punishment to come down on the heads of the normies. And then he will help us clean this mess up, and then we'll have this beautiful world with just us left on it, and the rest of these people will be gone. At least that's what I'm seeing. I yield.
He did say that the Bible does say it will be as it was in the days of Noah. It does not say it will be like in the days of Moses. So
right.
We're not going to be going anywhere. We're going to be where we are now, and he's going to take the others and put us in a protective shell type of thing so it can't touch us. But the others, like I think there's one verse in Revelation where it says that great flood, like of the people that are coming across the border, are going to get swallowed up.
Right, by the earth.
So he's going to do something about it.
Go ahead, Matt.
One of the seven signs that Yahshua gave that I always try to keep at the forefront of my mind is the sign of his coming will be the sea and the waves roaring. And they sure are.
Amen. Very good point. Yep, very good point. Because seas always represent masses of people.
Yep.
So, yep, the people are unhinged, is what I call it. Unhinged. They have no morality anymore. They're not tied to any kind of, culture or ethics or none of that. They're just off the rails and behaving like animals anymore. I yield.
Well, years ago when people came into the hospital and I was taking care of them, there were more and more people going on antidepressants. And we knew that this was going to be very dangerous because if there ever came a time where the doctors decided to quit their profession, and the rumors were out in scads back then that the doctors were sick of the control that the government was giving them. And I heard of a lot of the best doctors were sincerely thinking about retiring. And I thought, what is going to happen to these people if once they're on all these antidepressants? And then all of a sudden their doctor leaves and they can't get them anymore and they stop. It's going to drive their minds crazy because you can't stop taking them suddenly like that. That could be very well why we're having that zombie apocalypse right now. I'll yield.
Well, even when they're taking them, one of the side effects of most antidepressants is suicidal tendencies.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, and suicides are up. The military, the suicides are the highest they've ever been. It's approaching 22 soldiers a day. Every single day, our military has 22 people committing suicide. Highest it's ever been. Yep, that's disgusting. And I just read that the general population now has the highest suicide rate that it's ever had, and it even applies to young people that have their whole life ahead of them. You would think they would have a positive attitude, but apparently even young people are in record numbers taking their own life. I yield. Hold on a minute, one at a time.
Go ahead, Matt. I'm mouthy. Go ahead, you take it.
I'd wager a lot of those are white folks as well. Seems to be the case, especially here. This is especially men, white, killing themselves at record numbers.
Well, one thing that happens in suicide, I know in my nursing career, I've seen people die. I've watched people die. I've been at their bedside. I've seen their families, what happens when they die. When a husband dies, a wife almost dies along with him, because her grief is so deep, intense, and everything. So if you imagine all these young people committing suicide, and the fathers and mothers that have been jabbed and are dying from the blood clots and everything, and all these people, all the ones that are left after their death go into deep grief, which is next to death. They're walking around. They can't breathe. They can't eat. They can't sleep. They can't live. Because they're in such deep grief. that's going on all over the world. That's why we're seeing what we're seeing, and it's pitiful. And there's nothing you can do to help somebody like that. Picture the one that you love the most in the world committing suicide and how you live with that afterwards. I can't even imagine it. That's what we're seeing in people now. And it does, antidepressants don't matter because nothing helps that. Because there, that a lot of times if a couple has been married for 50, 60 years and one of them dies, guaranteed within the next few months the other one's going to go too. I'll yield.
Yeah, it's a sad state of affairs. The Jewish pharmacy, pharmakia, and all these damn drugs, artificial drugs. But the good news is I'm being contacted by a very large number of people who are interested in getting back to a totally natural diet and looking to get a totally natural way to heal whatever ails them. So at the same time that we see all this terrible, terrible stuff going on, there is a remnant of people. We're not the majority. We were told we'd never be the majority. However, there is a very strong remnant of people that are turning away from all this nonsense, and they're actually trying to get back to being in the right relationship with our Creator Father and with each other and do things the natural way. I yield.
Any word on that that arc that you guys were doing?
The latest I can tell about that is we just can't seem to find a suitable location at the moment that has the right attributes as far as, you know, no cell towers on it, good water, you can grow on it, and there's not much government interference. We're having a hard time finding that kind of property, and most of our people are strapped economically to where there's not a lot of extra money laying around to invest. So at the moment, Matt, it's kind of stalled. Everybody wants to do it. I'm hearing from people all the time that would love to be part of a community, but getting it off the ground and actually making it happen seems to have stalled for the time being. I yield.
I think it might be a little too good to be true, considering the predicament that we're in at the moment. But then again, I don't know. I don't have that kind of money, you know what I mean? But, of course, right. I'd love to see it happen. But maybe it isn't supposed to happen. You know, that's the other side of it. Maybe you guys got to ride it out. Maybe we all have to ride it out.
Well, that's a good point. I've thought about that. That generally in my lifetime, if I had a notion or something I was trying to do and it wasn't working, it's because the Father didn't want it to work. I was ahead of schedule, so to speak. I was just because I want to go 100 miles an hour doesn't mean that's what the Father's plan for me is. So I'm beginning to think that that's what the ARC project is going through right now. It's a great concept. At some point in time, we will do it. I have no doubt about that. But it's got to be in His time. And personally, I get the feeling He's doing it for our protection. I think there's some things that have to happen geopolitically before He wants us to get on land together where we can live peacefully and do what we want to do. I yield.
I would imagine that that when it happens, He'll be back, you know. Yeah. That might be a bit pessimistic of me, but I don't know. I think we're in too much of a predicament.
Well, I think we're in that time of Daniel. I forget what the verse is, but it says, he will put over the nations the basest of men, and in judgment to the nations. We're there now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the people that are ruling us are the worst of the worst.
Right. In fact, the Greeks had a word for that called kakistocracy. compound word from Greek words that means you're being governed by the worst of your society. And that's exactly what every white nation is. We have the worst people sitting in positions of power. And every day I'm reading about more people being so-called elected. We know we don't actually elect anymore. But more and more people being put in government positions that are completely unqualified. Not only are they not white, but they're imbeciles. And yet they're getting these government positions. Unbelievable. I yield.
Well, look at our vice president here in the United States, Kamala Harris. This person is not even a woman. It's a tranny. And if
she's
anything
as white as my socks.
She's what?
She's as white as my socks.
Oh, she's not white, and she's not a female. She was born a male.
I'm joking.
Yeah, and then and if that whatever you call Joe Biden, who died 2 years ago, the guy in the White House now, we don't know who he is, but he's trying to pretend to be Biden, but I don't know if he's tripping on purpose or slurring his words on purpose, but he's good for nothing. And all it takes is one trip, crack his head, and Kamala Harris is our president. Oh, boy. That doesn't
well, you're nerdy, don't you, Angie? You guys are coming on to the next quote unquote election, right? You're there now.
Yeah, but anybody who goes into the voting. Go ahead, Melissa.
Matt meant clown show.
Yeah. Anybody who votes today is nuts. They're not doing anything. Except they're expending energy to go somewhere to do something that's not going to do any good. It's called being crazy, repeating something over and over, expecting the result to come out differently.
All right.
Yeah.
Insanity.
Yeah.
It is a clown show, Matt. There's no doubt about that. But then again, all of our nations are run by these clowns. So the white man has been betrayed. And when we are going to wake up and actually take back control of our lives, I'm not sure, but that's what needs to happen. There is no political solution, not going to vote our way out. We have to simply take up arms and defend ourselves and say no more. What it's going to take to get our people to do that, I guess it's going to take an awful lot, but that's what has to happen. I yield.
Well, I got to say, I've said it before, you guys are most certainly at the epicenter of it all. You're the final bulwark of the West because, I mean, how good am I, you know? Like me in this country, like we don't have guns, you know what I mean? I mean, I would love to do things that I won't say, you know?
Right.
But you guys have the ability to do that. But so it has. Look, the New Jerusalem. You guys are the epicenter.
That's what America's going to eventually be, the New Jerusalem. You can't
well,
go
it is
anywhere
the New Jerusalem.
Here.
It's not eventually. It is. It's just a matter of time until it's until it becomes that in full fruition.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's like Dan said, he's like in Matthew 25, he's separating the sheep from the goats, and the goats being those who are the ones that treat Israel poorly. And I don't mean Israel Jews, I mean the Israelites. The Jews are fake. They're Edomites, Canaanites, Amalekites. They're all the ites of the Bible, and those are all the ones that the Yahweh had told, I think it was Saul and Samuel, he had told Saul to kill them all, the livestock, the women, the children, everything, kill them all, because he doesn't want these bastards to be coming in and interfering and mating with our people here, but they failed to do it. So that's why we have a world filled with them now, the evil seed.
And Hitler failed to do it also.
Right.
Amen. Hitler was too nice. a great man, but too nice. He should have slaughtered. 6 million, I wish.
Right.
He was concerned about Germany. He loved Germany. And he should have been more concerned about sticking it out so that the rest of the world wouldn't be affected. That's why they had to kill him, because if he'd lived longer or gone on further, he might have succeeded. I don't know.
Yeah,
could you imagine?
Load up Berlin and put him on a ship and bring him here. It was a wrap. It was done.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
We got Kumri and Randy are with us now, folks. So.
All right. Well.
Hi, Jeremiah. Hi, Randy.
Hello.
Yep, we've been chatting away. Randy, you've just joined us. Did you have anything you wanted to bring up or tell us about?
Well, I mean, I'm enjoying the circus show that's unfolding. I mean, there ain't no doubt about that.
Hey, Randy.
It's crazy living during these times, but here we are.
Yeah, here we are. I got a question for you. Melissa brought up something earlier about these orange barrels that they put out along the road when they want to block off construction or things like that. And you're a over-the-road trucker, so are you seeing that in your travels, a lot more of these barricades being put up to block certain roads and things?
I mean, I'm not seeing anything out of the ordinary. I mean, they're in Michigan. They do have a lot of road construction going on. I'm not seeing anything out of the ordinary that I'm concerned about as far as out here on the roadway.
It might be regional.
That's up north too.
Yeah. A lot of road construction, but I mean this time of the year.
I went through Kansas, Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Virginia, and Kentucky, and they're everywhere. And they got like blockades where your car is in between like this blockade for miles.
Jay, do you think they might be trying to separate the north from the south again?
That was in Illinois where the blockades were.
Okay.
Because I've been going back and forth for 3 years now, and it's been that way. And I think it's worse.
Well, one thing I have noticed about being out here on the highways is the drivers. It just seems like it gets worse and worse. I mean, just the amount of carelessness that's just. Tailgaters, people just driving like a bat out of hell, so to speak. I mean, it's just, it's a little wild out here. they're just very careless.
People have got rude, even when you go into a convenience store, because I have to stop and get gas and something to drink and, you know, other things.
Right.
And even in convenience stores, people are rude everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's I mean, I've never encountered so many rude people the last 2 years, maybe 3 years.
I agree. That's why I sold my motorcycle. It didn't feel safe being on the highway. Even in a truck or a car, you didn't feel that safe. But on two wheels, you know, you don't win any battles with four-wheel vehicles when you're only on two. You lose them all. So I sold it, and, you know, someday maybe I'll get another one, but it's not going to be until the zombies are gone, because the conditions on the highway, the way people drive, their attitudes, the road rage. I mean, I had a guy in a brand that's you,
that's
Charles.
You, Charles. I'm
feedback. Hold on a minute. Yeah, it's getting a lot of echo. Anyway, I had a guy in a brand new Cadillac cut me off coming up to a red light at an intersection. Because he wanted to get in the turn lane, and it was a long line of cars, and he didn't want to have to wait, so he thought he was going to jump up way up past me, and I pulled up so close to the guy in front of me that he couldn't get in, and he started flipping me off and honking the horn. And it was like, dude, you know, I don't have to let you in. I know people down here are narcissists beyond belief. But, you know, they think they can just bypass 50, 60 cars and run up to the top, and you're supposed to let them in. And I said, you know, that's not the way I was raised. You take your turn, and if you don't want to wait, that's fine, but you're not getting in front of me. But, yeah, a guy in a brand-new Cadillac, so obviously he had money. But, yeah, he got all bent out of shape and flipping me off, and I flipped him off, and, you know. But that is becoming the norm. It, down here, when I first got down here, that was very unusual to see things like that happen on the highway. And now it, almost every time you go out, you'll have three or four incidences where people are behaving that way. It's just, it's insane. I yield. Yeah, no, let me get
every time I take my vintage vehicle out, it's 1962. It's got to be careful out there on the highways, man, because people they don't respect your vehicle whatsoever.
No, they don't. Go ahead, Matt.
What you're describing, it's almost like another Shoah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a really weird time in history. I mean, you know, I've been walking this earth for quite a while now, and I never dreamed I would see this country become what it is today. Never in a million years, but let me see if Charles has got anything here. Charles, welcome to the chat, and did you have anything you want to bring up?
No, Dan, I'm just sorry I'm late. I always enjoy the discussions. Thank you.
Okay. All righty. But we got to get through it. We can't be defeatist. We never surrender. We never say, you know, we give up, because we're the overcomers. And if not us, who? I mean, come on, think about it.
Exactly.
Of all the people that you know that walk this earth, who is better qualified to know what's really going on? And when the time comes, rebuild us back in a proper way once this thing all falls apart and all of these zombies are dead in the ground. So we're it. We have to continue to educate ourselves and to teach others and just overcome what's going on. I yield.
We have to get people to stop feeding the beast. Every time you pay your income taxes, you're fighting yourself. And if people stopped doing that, there would be some effect. But the people are cowards. They don't want to do that.
Well, you've got a Gordon Call situation on you then.
What's that?
Gordon Call was Uri Call's father, and he's the decorated military veteran that was a tax protester, and I believe he was identity as well, and they ambushed him and his family one night on a road. I think it was in Missouri. They blockaded the road, ambushed his wife, and his son were in the truck with him, and bullets were exchanged. One of the marshals was shot and killed by Gordon, and somehow they got away, and then the family. The boy was put on trial. He's still in prison, even though he didn't do anything wrong, just because he's the son of Gordon Call. And his wife never went to jail, but I think she's passed away since. And then they found Gordon in a friend's farmhouse at some point, and they filled it full of bullet holes, and he was wounded and ended up burning it to the ground with him in it, if I remember right. It was, and then they disfigured the body when they came across it. That's how they treat American citizens and war heroes.
Yeah,
go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, I'd heard that. I was lucky enough to be in contact with Richard Kelly Hoskins before he passed away. He actually emailed me like a week before he passed away, believe it or not. But I was lucky enough to get his books off of him and actually pay him so that they weren't secondhand and you're not paying like several hundred euros for the set. But I read about Gordon Call through his books. But as you know, your government there is complete scum.
Yeah, they are. I wrote to Yuri Call and I ordered his book, Habeas Corpus, which is the book he wrote about what was going on. It was in that book that he exposed James Wickstrom.
Intellectual individual, he shouldn't be.
What's that? You're breaking up, Matt. I don't know if you know that or not. Anyway, Yuri Call wrote the book Habeas Corpus, and in there he exposed Wickstrom, James Wickstrom, as a federal informant. So it's just amazing. I just shake my head sometimes. We lost Matt. I think he has a bad connection or something. But, you know, I reached out to Randy Weaver when he was in jail, too. He was the guy with him and his family in that cabin that they went up to there in Idaho. And ended up killing Randy and severely wounding Kevin Harris. And they also killed Randy's son, Sammy. I think Sammy was like 9 or 10 years old. And they killed his wife, put a bullet in her head while she was standing on the front porch holding her baby in her arms. This is what these people are capable of doing. They're monsters. They're absolute monsters. They've got no heart, no empathy, no sympathy. They take orders, even though it was obvious. I mean, it was the next morning after the siege started when Sammy was already dead. The family dog had already been shot, and Vicky was standing on the porch. There was no conflict. There was no threat. And a sniper by the name of Lon Horuchi, Japanese, okay, here, non-white, in the employ of the federal government, was a sniper and shot and killed Vicky. And then he went on to receive a reward. Instead of being punished as a murderer, he received a reward and then ended up going to Waco and take part in that fiasco. It's unbelievable. Yeah, you're back, Matt. Go ahead.
Yeah, apologies. Work away, Dan. I just had to leave there. My internet was a bit dodgy.
Oh. Yep. Okay. Yeah, you were starting to say something, and it kept breaking up, and I couldn't even make out what you were saying. But
no doubt, the system is very evil that we have.
I think our people have to understand something. This is what we're up against. Why people think we need to acquiesce and live in fear of these people and think that we have to obey them is beyond me. They've proven that they are no longer qualified to hold public office. Every one of them has violated their oath of office, and that goes for the public servants and the military and many of the police. Just because they hold a public office or wear a uniform doesn't mean you have to give in to them. What the hell's wrong with our people? These people have clearly defined themselves as enemy agents willing to kill innocent men, women, and children to help the New World Order take over, which means the Jew. So they've signed on. They're willing to do all this, just like the preachers have signed on to teach lies and deception in the churches and tell the people you've got to go along with whatever the government says. So they've signed on as being shepherds to lead the sheep to the slaughter, the same as these other people. What's wrong with our people?
Yeah, there's been a number of these law enforcement individuals in Michigan and really all over the country. I mean, they've been caught doing nefarious things. Like, for example, he's not the sheriff now, but the now former sheriff in Midland, Michigan, he was caught, you know, off duty, but he was in a county issued vehicle, you know, not it was an unmarked car, but he got caught on the side of the road, drunk, in a completely different county, so he was drove great distance drunk, and he got caught. And what happened? When he got caught, he wanted to be treated differently. And this is all on video. It's all over YouTube. And when he got caught, he wanted to be treated differently. But had that been just some average person. You know, get out of the car, you're going to jail type of thing. But this guy, he gets to pull out his badge, you know, don't you know who I am? And he thinks he should be treated differently. And it's just, it's sad. But, you know, and that's why, you know, we hear a lot about this two-tiered system of justice right now. That's like the big thing in the news. And it's like, man, we've known about this for years. These people treating us one way, and then when they get caught, it's just, you know, they get a little slap on the wrist. This has been going on way too long.
Yep. I saw that happen here locally. Even one of the guys that used to come to our karaoke night at a local watering hole, him and his wife would come, and this was about 6 years ago. He ended up driving drunk and hit a migrant here and killed him. And as far as I know, he never spent any time in jail for that. So I guess he paid. Go ahead.
I personally busted one of these officers. This was a city police officer at the same town as what I just mentioned over in Midland, Michigan, which is coincidentally that's where I used to live, and the system come after me. And it's a little bit of a payback. Because, you know, many years ago, I stood on the courthouse steps after they came after me and named them by name and let everybody know just how corrupt these people were. And just so many of these people out of this town, man, we've caught them doing nefarious things. What was it? I think it was last year. It was a city police officer. He got caught. He was drinking and driving. And when he got caught, well, we got a hold of the 911 audio tape, and in that audio, he's trying to make it seem like it was a medical condition. That, you know, I've been having problem with seizures. No, he was drunk. And what's funny is we also got videos. I was a part of this. I got a video from the Michigan State Police, where the sheriff's office that was involved in that he was aware of what happened with the 911 call, and he says, hey, supposedly this guy that calls in the 911, he's making a claim that there's, you know, seizures. He's like, hey, I went and asked his wife, hey, has this officer been having problems with seizures? She doesn't know anything about it. These people are liars, and they're so easy to catch, you know. And it's, you know, I wrote I want to read a letter that I wrote after I pieced, after I got the 911 audio, I got a copy of the Michigan State Police videos. So it's like, I've already confirmed this guy is a liar, right? So here, I'm going to read you this letter. And of course the city never responds to it, but this was my way of calling out their BS. So let me read this letter real quick. Cause I don't want people to think that I just get on here and talk. This is stuff that we actually do. This was a letter that I sent the city of Midland on January 21st, 2023, and they have never responded. I told them, I filed a FOIA request with Mr. Branson requesting disciplinary records, emails, statements, press releases, etc., in regards to the incident that occurred on or about October the 1st, 2022, involving Midland police officer Jason Gattrell. Mr. Branson did respond to my request and indicated that the city of Midland has not issued any press releases in regards to this incident. Why has the city of Midland remained silent about this? Is it the city of Midland's position to remain silent until all investigations and court proceedings are completed? If that's the position, I would like to remind the city of Midland of the public posting that appeared on social media only 10 days after the situation of George Floyd. This is obviously not the same situation. However, the city of Midland has made public postings in regard to situations that were still being investigated. So again, why the silence about Officer Jason Gattrell? I also filed a FOIA request with the Midland County 911 dispatch and received the audio recordings of the call. The audio portion of the person allegedly being Jason Gattrell is revealing a medical condition as the cause of the accident. Is that true, or was he lying and using this medical condition to avoid accountability for the DUI. The audio also revealed a near head-on collision with another vehicle. If the officer has a medical condition that's causing and or could cause an accident, did he report this to a supervisor? Was he required to report this? This should concern everyone if he was driving with a known medical condition. According to an article by Dave Clark of the Midland Daily News, Jason Gattrell wasn't arrested. Is that true? Why is he being treated differently than any other person committing a similar crime? It's not uncommon for police departments to be open, honest, and transparent with situations like this. So why is the city of Midland and the Midland Police Department choosing to remain quiet about this? I understand everyone makes mistakes. However, when people in positions of authority get treated differently than the people they serve, that's called corruption.
Bravo.
I call them out for their BS.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Criminals.
Yeah, they don't mess with me anymore. You know what I mean? They don't mess with me no more. I did take the 911 audio that I got, and the video that I got from the Michigan State Police. That did cost me a couple hundred dollars, but I was glad to pay for it. And I took it out there as a public service, and I put it all over social media for you, Church. Sure did.
Do you reckon
expose
that you
expose them all? Expose them all.
Go ahead, Matt.
Do you reckon that you wasted your breath and your money?
No.
Doing that?
No, because I feel that if we don't at least try to call them to the carpet, then we're no better than they are.
Yeah.
Because this isn't like, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago where they may have been able to get away with this. They can't get away with it quite anymore. You know, with FOIA requests and asking for the right documents, you can really expose a lot of things about these people. I mean, they might be able to keep a lot of things under wraps, but you get a hold of certain information, and you can just blow a lid off all their garbage real quick. You put it out there all over social media. There's nothing they can do to stop you from that. Nothing.
Go ahead, Matt. You were saying something?
I agree with you, but exposure and reprimand are quite different beasts, you know?
I commend you. As far as I know, the guy was never fired. I'm not going to ever probably get the result that I may be looking for, but at the same time, I'm going to expose these people in ways that they're not used to being exposed either. And I've been doing this for years, and then, you know, it's this particular town of Michigan, they're very, very dirty. And, you know, there's a lot of people on social media, they focus all on Detroit and what happened during the elections, and it's like, Detroit's not the only corrupt place in Michigan, folks. I mean, Midland, which is the town and world headquarters of Dow Chemical Corporation, is extremely corrupt. And so, I mean, I don't just say, hey, they're corrupt, because I can show all the videos and the evidence. They just, they are very dirty there, very dirty. And, you know, they come after me years ago, so it's personal.
But exposure definitely adds to the boiling of it all.
Yeah. Go ahead, Melissa. You were saying something.
I said I think that was a great letter.
I do the best that I can. I mean, I'm an over the road truck driver. I mean, I just feel like if I find out something like this, I'm not going to be quiet about it, because then we're no better than they are. I'm not, you know, they sweep it under the rug. I feel that our job is to bring their lies and their corruption, bring it to surface. And whatever happens, happens. It's better than doing nothing, right? I mean, so many people complain about the situation that we're in, But it's like, what are we going to do about it? So, I mean, this may not be a whole lot, but
it's something.
A lot of people just sitting around complaining, right? So, and what I've done with it a lot of times is by learning how to do FOIA requests and write letters, you know, also when I put it out there on social media, it's also encouraging other people to do it as well. I mean, and there's a lot of people that are doing it. They don't charge anything. They get the information. They put it out there. Yeah, you have some actual organizations that do that, and then you just have people that are completely independent, just researching different things, and whatever they find, they put it out there. There's literally millions of us that do it. And the system doesn't know what to do with it because they're just like, there's just people out there doing it. So.
Go ahead, Matt.
Have you guys seen the videos of, I don't know what state it is, but the Jewish mayor, where they're doing the call-ins, and people have been calling in, a lot of pro-white people, and he's been kvetching. I don't know if you guys have seen that. I don't know what state he's in, but he's a Jewish mayor, and he's been shutting it down for a lot of people.
Well, it's not ringing a bell. Yeah, I don't know that particular incident, but I do know that it's happening more and more, a lot more than it has in the past. So that's always a good thing. Matt, your hand is still up, by the way.
I don't know how to take it down.
Oh, okay. We got Charles has his hand up here. Let me see what he's got here. Go ahead, Charles.
Thank you, Dan. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
I can hear you.
All right, good. One of the big things Gordon Call was emphasizing was organizing posse comitatus and trying to work with the county sheriffs to get posse comitatus up and running and enforcing the real common law instead of this statutory civil municipal law. The only other big thing that Gordon Call that I recall was emphasizing was the problem with the Jews, especially coming in after World War II. After World War II, the Jews were just flooding into the USA, and he was doing tours around the USA, and he was emphasizing those two bullet points. There's problems with the economic power of these Jews that are controlling everything, and we need to organize posse comitatus at the grassroots under real common law compliant sheriffs. And I do believe that's an excellent summary. Gordon Call was like one of the most advanced spiritual people in this earthly political spiritual war zone that has been with us for, I'd say, the last 50 or 100 years. Gordon Call was absolutely great. I yield.
Yeah, I know he created a lot of fear. They were afraid of him. I believe he was obviously a good leader. He was a decorated soldier, very much a patriot, and knew his Bible, very spiritual. I'm pretty sure he was identity. And so he had all those things going for him, which made him very much a person of interest to the Jews. And they were going to do everything they could to take him down. They had hoped that blockade that night was going to end up with the whole family shot and killed in their truck. What they didn't count on was that Gordon was also a very good shot, and he came out blazing, and I think he wounded one and killed one of them, and then the family was able to get out. I know he got out, so they weren't quite sure how to handle that. They're used to us just laying down and allowing ourselves to be murdered without a fight, when Gordon wasn't going to go down without a fight. So, and we all need to do that. We're all going to go to the other side at some point. We got to stop fearing death. even Yahshua told us in Scripture that that's a sign of lack of faith. It's also a sign of cowardice. And one of the things that our Heavenly Father detests is cowardice. And we've got to get over that. I mean, we cannot allow the fear of death to influence what we say and do. We're supposed to say and do the right things because it's the right thing to do. And if we don't do or say because of the fear of incarceration or the fear of punishment or death, then we have caved. And that's not what we're supposed to do. If we see something and we can accomplish something, we're supposed to do it. I yield.
If I can jump in again.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, thank you. That's one of the important bullet points to, I guess, basically my ministry. I believe you've largely joined me in it, that the Exodus 18 model of government, where we're supposed to be organizing our local communities under tens and 50s and hundreds and thousands, a proper common law county sheriff with full posse comitatus, he controls a 1,000-man army. That's how the Exodus 18 model of government merges with modern constitutional common law. And see, under modern constitutional common law, we've got the right to organize in these godly, righteous manners. And it echoes also the Book of Numbers. The Book of Numbers just hammers away on the theme that Jehovah, Yahweh, wants his people on this earth organized militarily. Okay, that's what the numbers are about, doing inventory. You can see long lists in the Book of Numbers of how all of the 12 separate tribes were organized by 50s and hundreds and thousands, so that when evil manifested against any of the people of Israel, boom, it was the bad guys picked the wrong fight. Everybody was on them immediately because they were organized at the grassroots to respond instantaneously. That's what the whole Torah law message is about. And New Testament books, chapters in Mark and Luke show that Jesus was organizing his followers along that same Exodus 18 model method of organizing our counties and our precincts. And so under modern constitutional common law, we've got the right and the duty to organize in these manners. And one other final point, if we're trying to resist by individuals, we're being stupid, because like Gordon Call, heroic man, no doubt, but he only took out a few of them. If we've got our people organized, like maybe a 50 or 100, we could go in and we could take control of a lot of them. We could take out a lot of bad guys and take over a county or something like that somewhere. The options are potentially endless. I'm very optimistic, but in the name of God, we need to get people on comprehending the linkages between biblical Torah law and modern American constitutional common law, and that we've got the right to push forward on those issues, especially when we've got formal criminal complaints in our own courts against corrupted public servants from the de facto area. We can put it all together. Yahweh has provided us with all of the solutions at our fingertips. We just need to get organized and elevate our consciousness level to the spiritual plane, to where we can comprehend all these powerful tools that Yahweh has provided us with. I yield.
Yep. And the other beautiful thing is whoever the sheriff is, whether it's one that's there presently or we the people elect our own sheriff outside of the system, whoever the sheriff is, he has the right to deputize any number of able-bodied men in his county. So, and I've passed this by Sheriff Mack, who has the Constitutional Sheriffs and Police Officers Association. I've passed it by other sheriffs, like Sheriff Tar Leaf up in Michigan, checked with him, and some other law enforcement people. And as far as I can determine, it is true. The sheriff has that ability. So the sheriff, by deputizing, basically allows us to instantly be able to perform the duties of making arrests and or going after bad guys, even in that system, as well as our own Exodus 18 model as the sons of Yahweh and the biblical right to police our own communities. So we're covered in both of those venues is what I'm trying to say. I yield.
That's good, Brother Dan. I would only add that the sheriffs when they refuse to do their duties under common law to keep the peace, and instead they're out here enforcing statutory codes, they're de facto. They are not legitimate. And if you research the term de facto versus its polar opposite, de jure or constitutional, you should come to understand pretty quickly that de facto government office holders only have the right to hold their office so long as there's no de jure claimant knocking on their door saying, hey, you can step down here. We appreciate your effort to try to uphold the law, but you're obviously too stupid to know how to do it. So we finally got somebody here that actually comprehends biblical Torah law scriptures and common law principles. And so you can step down here. We'll give you a nice retirement check. The de jure sheriff here is ready to take over and start operating a proper common law county government that's decentralized along the Exodus 18 model with posse comitatus and deputies. Technically, that's speaking deputies. That's kind of a top-down authoritarian thing that flows from the sheriff. The sheriff really has a more important duty to follow the Exodus 18 model and not really do deputies, but create political subdivisions with the justices of the peace and the town constables that are their own jurisdictions, complete sovereignties in their own right. They're not franchisees of a declaration of deputy from the sheriff. It doesn't come down in top-down authoritarian manner from the sheriff. It comes from the grassroots. The town constables are the heads of the 10 household communities under the Exodus 18 model. Those are legitimate peace officers, not police officers, but peace officers, and they have the right and the duty to exercise anybody that may be causing a breach of the peace for any of the constituents within their 10 separate household township jurisdictions. So it can all come grassroots, bottom up, and a manner that, you know, it's hard for a lot of people to grasp, to get their mind around the immense empowerment that's available to us once we comprehend how common law is solidly based on biblical Torah law. William Blackstone said this exactly in his commentaries on the laws of England, that all of the laws of England are based upon the biblical Torah law. And so it's all wrapped up in a nice, neat package. All people have to do is come to the comprehension and then to be prayerful and muster the courage to organize with others and then as a community make decisions to start enforcing warrants or whatever else is necessary to bring peace to God's people. I yield.
Right. Yep. Very good. Very good. And we're coming up on an hour and a half, so if anybody's got anything they want to bring up before we shut down for the night, now would be the time. Oh, we got Lane here. I didn't even see that. Lane, welcome, buddy. Did you have anything you want to bring up? Or are you just listening? Must be just listening. Okie dokie. Pretty lively discussion. Lane, you're coming in on it at the tail end there, but I will have it up on the website here in about 30 minutes or so. So if you want to catch what we've been chatting, and Matt gave us a report from what's happening over in Ireland and over there with our kinfolk over there and stuff, and then everybody else has been chipping in with different things here. Oh, wait a minute. We got some hands up here. Coomery's got something. Unmute yourself, Coomery. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to add that as of tomorrow, which will be day one of the full moon, by next full moon, according to the biblical calendar, is day one of the Feast of Tabernacles. And as you know, the Edomites like to plan a lot of their destruction and stuff around our calendar.
Right. I know it's in the fall for the ingathering time. I haven't looked at the proper calendars yet to figure out when it actually does start, but I know it's coming up here pretty soon. So, and that's probably the return of his system of law and the Jubilee. I think will all be tied together, and it will definitely be around the feast. And again, this feast is in his calendar time, not ours, because they've been playing with the calendar for a very long time. So I don't think we actually have a super accurate determination of just exactly where we are. But we can know the season, just like Christ said. You know, the hour and the day, nobody knows, but the season. So we do know the Feast of Tabernacles was at the end of the growing season. It was the ingathering. So we do know that. He did make mention of his birth was during the feast, okay, because it was in the fall. It wasn't around December. It was at the Feast of Tabernacles. So it stands to reason that the reestablishment of his kingdom on this earth and getting rid of these bad guys will be tied in with that. At least that's how I'm looking at it. So, and then Ella's done some research also about the timing of things based on Daniel and Revelation. So it could very well be, it won't be this Feast of Tabernacles, as far as I can tell, but certainly by next Feast of Tabernacles, we could easily be in a position for seeing some of these miraculous things that the Bible talks about start happening for our people. So things are accelerating. As it says, the old Chinese proverb says, we live in interesting times, no doubt about that. So stay alert. Stay on your toes, continue to fellowship. That's our job. We have to help each other with this kind of fellowship because everybody's under a tremendous amount of stress. I can't tell you how many phone calls and texts and emails I have from brothers and sisters all over the earth. We're all going through very, very similar things. We're witnessing with dismay at the total disintegration of civilization, especially white civilization, by seeing our people act like animals. It's very disheartening because Yahweh is separating the wheat from the chaff. It's disheartening because there's plenty of people, at least I know, that I thought would be in the group of the sheep, but they're actually goats. It's been very discouraging finding out that many people I thought highly of, they're actually goats. So we have that going on, as well as all the other stupidity. We have the society breaking down, the economy breaking down, violence increasing, invasion of our land. So we got a lot of things going on, plus the psychological torture that we're being applied to. But we are the overcomers, and we can do that because, A, we know who we are. B, we know the truth. We know our Heavenly Father. We're in fellowship with our Heavenly Father. And as Yahshua told them, he said, if you love me, obey me. And he also said, if you love me, feed my sheep. So when we come together in these meetings and we come together in phone calls or letters and texts and things such as that and edify each other and lift each other up, that gives us the strength and power to endure. And we have to focus on that, especially now. We need every tool in the toolbox to do battle with this beast and end up on top, because that's our destiny. Our destiny is to overcome and be on top when this thing finally comes down. Whether we like it or not, we're part of his administration on this earth, and we have a big job. And we've been doing a great job, like many of the people here, Randy and Kumri and all. You've been with me almost from the beginning. So is Lane and his family. So we've been doing what I consider a very tough and good job for a long time, but we're not done yet. And my personal opinion is some of the stuff that we have to do is going to be bigger as we go forward, bigger than what we've already done. And so, again, a lot of things to look forward to, and we have to just stay the course. As he said, you know, keep your hands on the plow and keep looking forward and keep plowing that field. Don't look back. We can't look back. We can't worry about yesterday. We can't get too concerned about what's going to happen in the future. One day at a time, one day sufficient unto itself. That was our commandment. That was our leadership from the Father himself. And so that's what we're going to do. But for tonight, I'm going to go ahead and say a prayer. So instead of muting everybody, if you would, just either mute yourself or just make sure you don't make any kind of noise if your mic is open. And then we'll close out here. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to come together as brothers and sisters. And your truths are going out there, Father. Our people are doing a mighty work right now. And we may be small in number, but we are great in heart, great in courage, and we are relentless in our struggle to bring this system down and to elevate our people and to bring them through this fire. We just pray for your guidance and wisdom to be bestowed upon us. We ask that you would walk with us by your Holy Spirit. Let that Spirit edify us and strengthen us. Also give us good discernment to see through all the lies and the BS that's out there, because there's a ton of it. And we just look forward to that day, Father, when this is all done, all over with, and law and order, love and prosperity and righteousness returns to this earth, and you're going to govern us from your throne. There will be no more arguing, no more backbiting, no more gossiping, no more debating, because you are the final authority, and nobody can argue with you. Hallelujah. It'd be so nice. No more arguing about everything. So to that end, Father, we again ask that you be with us, forgive us our sins and shortcomings, and always protect us from our enemies. We ask this all in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.